Welcome to the College Parent Central podcast. Whether your child is just beginning the college admission process or is already in college, this podcast is for you. You'll find food for thought and information about college and about navigating that delicate balance of guidance, involvement, and knowing when to get out of the way. Join your hosts, Vicki Nelson and Lynn Abrahams, as they share support and a celebration of the amazing experience of having a child in college.
Welcome to the College Parent Central podcast, or welcome back if you are a regular listener. Thank you for being here. This is the podcast where we talk about all kinds of things that have to do with college parenting. We talk about parenting your future college student, if you have a student who's in high school, parenting your student when they're in college, and even parenting them on their way out of college, because it is all one long journey. And we look at it from all different angles and all different kinds of topics. So we hope that we're going to, at some point, talk about something that is meaningful to you. My name is Vicki Nelson, and I am the parent of three daughters who have all gone to college, and I've lived to tell about it, and they're all out now and on with their lives. I'm also a professor of communication at a small liberal arts college, and so I look at this topic of college parenting both from the perspective as a parent and also as a professional who works with students every single day, and I see some of the things that are going on with them. And I am here, as always, with my friend and colleague, and I'll let her introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. My name's Lynn Abrahams. And I also am the parent of two sons who have been in and out and around college. So I speak about this topic from personal experience. And I work in a small liberal arts college as well. I'm a learning disability specialist. So I work closely with mostly first-year and second-year students and their families, students who are coming into college often with a history, a mixed history in terms of their academic experience. So we're here.
Yeah, and we look at, you know, we watch these students every single day at work and recognize, I think one of the things that happened when I sent my daughters off to college is I started to look at my students a little differently and say, these are somebody's sons and daughters, and it just it gave me a more interesting perspective. So one of the things we're trying to do a little bit this season, as we're thinking about what some of our episodes were going to be, is every now and then we're picking a problem or something that we see in our students, those students that we work with every day, that might have to do with parenting, and we're going to talk through the problem. So we've done that in the past, not so very long ago. We talked about, you know, the issue that we see where students just are afraid to talk to their professors and that communication between students and professors. And we looked at that. And so what we wanted to do today is take another, I don't know, problem sounds like it's really heavy, but it's an issue, yeah, that we see with our students and think about that and think about it from the parent perspective. And what we want to talk about today is failure. But we don't want to talk about really, I mean, we'll touch on it, but we don't really want to talk about students' failure. And there's a lot of that going on, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. And that's one of the things we want to say. But what we're experiencing, and we do as parents as well, is our fear that our child will fail. And so it's what we really want to talk about is not the failure, but our parental fear of our students failing and how that affects our students. And as we talk about that, we're really talking about the little failures, the things that are ongoing. when we talk about, and we've done a couple of episodes in the past about anxiety, both student anxiety and parent anxiety, and we'll put those in the show notes. I think it was episode 23 that we talked about parent anxiety. But when we talk about anxiety, we sometimes like to think of it as anxiety with a capital A and anxiety with a little a. And anxiety with a capital A is that sort of chronic clinical anxiety that just, you know, stops you in your tracks and you're not able to function. Anxiety with a little a is just that sort of stress and anxiety that you experience all the time. And sometimes it's a case of helping students realize the difference between capital A anxiety and little a anxiety. So as we're talking about failure, we really don't want to talk about capital F fear, parent fear, but the little f fear, which is often around academics for students, you know, fear that my student will fail academically, but also sometimes about social health, homesickness, all of that, but the little f fears.
You know, when I think of my students, I am aware that their parents know them best also. So in this discussion, we want to make the assumption that you know when something's really wrong. We trust that. You know, you will know if your kids are, you know, feeling out of school and you need to sit down with them and have a big, you know, discussion, or, you know when something's really wrong. We're assuming that, but in addition, we're talking about the anxieties that pile up, those little tiny things that we're watching for that pile up and make us worry maybe a little too much.
Yeah, we focus on them, you know, because there are a lot of them and they're sort of continual. So this fear is a lot of little fears that add up. And sometimes it requires us to think about what is worth worrying about. I saw somewhere it was referred to as worry well. You know, choose the things, you know, we talk about choose your battles. Choose the things to worry about and some things to let go so that you don't over worry, which is what's really what happens when you expect that the worst is going to happen and that your student will be able to, you know, will fall apart and not be able to handle it. I have a quote that I saw at some point that I think sort of addresses this, and it's by Mark Twain, you know, Mark Twain wisdom. And he said, "My life has been filled with calamities, some of which have actually happened." So I think that refers to that sort of, you know, we have these fears and, you know, what's rational, what's irrational, and what should we be worrying about and what not. But as parents, we're often fearful.
You know, one key reason why we are so, why we can easily fall into worrying too much is the messages that we get all around us. The message is about failing. You know, I hear this voice in my head that says, failure is not an option. I don't know where I heard that. Yeah. I don't know where that comes from, but that's one of the messages I've gotten.
You know, and sometimes I hear fail now, fail later.
Right. If you fail now, you will be a failure later. Right.
And you know what's interesting, Lynn, is the way you just said that. You said you will be a failure later. And that idea that if you fail at something, it doesn't work, it doesn't happen, that makes you a failure.
Noun. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so easy to fall into that. And then on top of it, if we as parents see that our kids are struggling or failing, we think it's our failure. So then there's that whole issue of separating from our kids so that we're not owning their difficulties and we're not feeling at fault, blame of ourselves when things get,
you know I think we see it as our job to protect our kids from failure, to prevent them from failing. And so when that happens, we own it because it says, I haven't done my job.
You know, in particular, I think of the students I work with have diagnosed learning differences. Mm-hmm. And in the early years, you know, K through 12, parents had to get involved so that if their kids are feeling, they might feel that it was their fault, that they needed to get more involved to, you know, make sure their kids get the services they need. Mm-hmm. But as our kids get older, it's so important that we step back.
Yeah.
And not take responsibility.
And we see, you know, what's the opposite of failure? Success, I don't know. And we see success often, we see grades as representative of success. My student got a good grade. And, you know, it occurs to me, you have talked about, when we've talked in the past, and in a couple of episodes, and I'll link to them in the show notes, when you've talked about the differences between high school and college for students, and you've talked about the difference between the IDEA laws that govern high school and the
ADA
that in college, that the goal, I'm trying to remember exactly what you said, but the goal in high school is for the students to succeed. It's success, whereas in college, it's access. And so, you know, this concept of success is really kind of an interesting one, and there's a lot of messaging around it.
You know, I'm really stuck on these two words, success and failure. I have a lot of problems with both of them. And, you know, actually, you and I have talked about how we need to do a whole episode
on
this topic of success and what it means, because it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about a book that I read recently that... it's by a psychologist. His name's Mark Katz. And he wrote a book that's called Children Who Fail at School But Succeed at Life: Lessons from Lives Well Lived. In some ways, I love the title, because what it's saying is that kids who struggle in school can often be really successful, you know, in life. Mm-hmm. But it also starts me thinking about, what do these words really mean? And when we talk about success, are we talking about grades? Are we talking about meaningful experiences, purposeful experiences? You know, I don't know. It's a big topic.
Yeah.
So let's put that off.
Well, yeah, let's. I do think, you know, it is going to lend itself to something that we can expand on, and is important for parents to understand it. But you know, I think you have more problem with the word than I do.
Yes.
And that probably has to do with maybe the backgrounds that we come from. But, you know, as I think about success, I think of it, well, I looked up the definition, and one definition, dictionary definition, was the accomplishment of an aim or purpose, and achieving personal goals, whatever they may be. The successful person is someone who sets and achieves goals. So, you know, I think one of the things, and we'll really unpack it in another episode, but it's important. It made me think it's important for students to set their own goals, as opposed to what we all do in the educational world and as parents, when we set the goals for the students, and grades really are this external arbitrary thing. So, you know, so I think it might help as parents, as we're sort of thinking about this, to think about why am I fearful? You know, how do I personally define success? And maybe talking to your students. I mean, we're big advocates of have a conversation with your student about a lot of these things. Talk to your student about how do they define success. It's a word that we use all the time, everywhere, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So more coming in the future. We'll talk more about that. But let's get back to the idea of our fear for our students, and especially our fear that they will fail, however we define success or failure. And where, thinking a little more about what causes it, where does it come from? Why are we so fearful? And I think, you know, I think one of the things is that that's in our DNA as parents. I've actually heard you say that, Lynn Abrahams, in that episode that we did on parent anxiety, I think number 23, whatever that was, that it is natural as parents to worry. I started to worry the minute I brought my newborn home. But no, I started to worry before that. You know, I started to worry when I was pregnant. Am I eating the right thing? Am I, you know, I just did that thing, or I just did this thing. Is that going to hurt my child? So it is part of our DNA as parents, you're right, to worry about our kids. And the another factor is that we are not comfortable with the uncomfortable. And we like to talk about the book by Harlan Cohen about kids at college, and we can link to that in the show notes as well. But he talks in that book about getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. And it's one thing to get comfortable with your own discomfort. It's really hard as a parent to get comfortable with your kid being uncomfortable. So, you know, watching it happen, if students are struggling, failing, falling apart, whatever it is that's happening that we're fearful of, it's really hard to watch it happen. You know, we're sad, we feel helpless, we feel like we're not doing our job. And so it makes me wonder whether our fear is not only for our child, but also for us, that we're fearful that we've failed at our job. And one of the things I read that I'm actually still sort of trying to process is, it was a psychological article, but that we have different reactions when something goes wrong or something fails. If we feel like we did something wrong, we feel guilty. So our response is guilt. If we feel that whatever it was went wrong because there was something we didn't do that we might have or should have, we feel regret that we didn't do it. But if we feel it happened because we are a bad person or a person who's lacking, we feel shame. And so I think as parents, as we think about our fear for our student, for our child, we may want to think about, you know, guilt, regret, shame. What's going on for me? It's not easy.
You know, it's not easy. And I just have to admit here that I am a worrier. And as a parent, I just see that it's easy to get worried. I mean, both of my kids, you know, when they went off to school, I mean, yes, on one hand, it was very exciting that they left. and it was fun to talk to them about other things, you know, about their lives and about books they're reading, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But I'm a worrier. And with both of my kids, I think I felt just worried, you know, and not just about my role, worried about them.
Yeah.
You know, the world seems to be kind of scary to me. And I think there's this higher level of anxiety just all over the place. And I am sensitive to that. I pick up on it.
And everything sort of feels like a crisis.
Yes. And, you know, crisis is an interesting word too, you know, because, you know, the definition of crisis, you know, I think you had mentioned the Chinese.
The Chinese symbol for crisis contains both the symbol for danger and the symbol for opportunity. And I think that's really, really interesting, because we see a crisis, whatever's happening at the moment. My student failed an exam. My student is, you know, hanging out with the wrong kids, whatever it is, we see that as the danger part of crisis. But that's also an opportunity for some decisions, for some change of direction. When I work with students, sometimes in the classroom as we're analyzing a piece of literature or something like that, or drama in plays, we think of crisis as the turning point. It's the point of decision when you are at a moment when you have to go one way or another. And that's really kind of a wonderful thing for students if we think about it, but we don't. We think about the danger part.
Well, that's the hard part, because as parents, we're so involved emotionally that it's hard to get the distance to step back to look at opportunities. And that's something that we need to work on.
And we're so surrounded by the messaging around success and around failure, and success being the ultimate goal, but not always defining what that means, and certainly not always letting students define their own kind of success with some guidance and help. We're fearful a lot for our students. And I think we need to think about what that does to us, and we need to think about what that means and how we handle it. But I think we also need to think about how that affects our students when we're so fearful all the time. What message are we sending to students? And I think one of the biggest messages we're sending, and we see it all the time in our students, is that you're not capable. I'm worried because I don't think you can, and you fill in the blank. I don't think you can do that thing. I don't think you can handle that thing. I don't think you are capable of that thing. And you do that over and over and over again, and it takes a toll on students.
You know, I've had a number of students recently, actually, I would say in the last couple years, who want to have their parents involved in their advising sessions.
Ah, yes.
And you have to wonder where that comes. Is it the parent who wants to be there, or the student who wants their parents there? But what I've noticed is that the students who want that are the students who feel less capable. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like they're capable of doing it on their own. And I think that the parents coming, even though it comes from a good place in their heart, I mean, they want to help their kids. Mm-hmm. I think it does give that message that they're not able.
And so if it's the student that's initiating the, you know, will you come with me to my advising meeting, then it's hard for a parent to say, no, but let's sit down together beforehand and think of some of the questions you want to ask. And, you know, and then you can gather some information, and maybe we need to talk and you have another session or something, rather than immediately saying, yes, I'll come. If it's the parent who's initiating it, well, parents need to think about whether that makes sense, and why do you think your student isn't capable, and what can you do to help your student become more capable? And we've had a couple of whole episodes on readiness, you know, and I think that goes, you know, we're fearful because we don't think our child is ready, and we can link to the episodes on readiness. But one of the things we always talk about is what can you do as, you know, in even middle school and high school to prepare your student. So even little things like if I'm still getting my high school student up in the morning to get out to the bus, what? Yes, I'm being helpful, right? Yes, because he's going to make it to the bus. But what message am I sending about that student's ability to self-regulate and to monitor and to be able to get themselves up and out the door? If I'm constantly saying, have you done your homework? Have you done your homework? Have you filled out your applications? Yes, it gets the homework done or the application done, but what's the message that these little things just add up all the time?
So there's like this slow process that of parents stepping back, letting their kids take more responsibility, doing it openly and talking to your kids about it.
Oh, yeah.
you know. So there are ways to do this, to become more of a coach to our kids.
Rather than intervening and jumping in and and fixing things, because that also sends a message. If I jump in and I fix things, even when they're younger, I talk to the teacher and I make an arrangement that you can do this, or I explain to the teacher why you didn't do your homework. That, in the short term, fixes that immediate problem, sends a message to the student that I don't think you could have handled this with the teacher, but also sends a message that, you know, parental power, something about power fixing things rather than trying to work things out. You need some external thing to come in and fix it. And kids pick up on those cues. Yeah. You talk all the time about antenna. Yeah.
Picking up on that message.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. They don't think I can do it. Uh-oh. So we really do need to spend some time talking about what we can do about all this as parents. And we have mentioned some things already. And I want to just start by saying something I've already mentioned, which is the first step is to step back and to watch and to have some detachment and watch what's happening. You know, what do I tend to do when I get nervous? Asking yourself that question. You know, do I tend to focus more on the end result, you know, end goal, or do I look at the process? You know, what is my pattern? What do I usually do? Because if we step back and notice that we're focusing a little too much on the externals, that's a good thing to notice, to be aware of. You know, are we noticing our kids' weaknesses more than their strengths? And also, that comes from fear.
And it's a parental thing.
We tend to see that more, you know. But, you know, Vicki, you and I did, when we were doing some workshops with parents, I remember one of the things we did was hand out file cards to all our parents and ask them to put on the front of the card what they were most worried about their kids going to college. And then on the back side of the card, we asked them to list their kids' strengths. And then as we took a look at it, we realized, and parents realized, that many of those strengths were the things that were going to help them deal with whatever it is we were most worried about.
And we also asked parents of the two things, jot down your worries and jot down the strengths, which came to you quicker, which was easier. And many parents said it was easier to think about the worries because they're front of mind. And many of the strengths we've taken for granted by then. So it was a new way of thinking.
So really important to look at those strengths.
Yeah. And, you know, I think parents can also model for their students the kind of behavior that reminds students that we all have strengths and we need to be aware of what they are and use them, and that we all face areas of challenge, that it's a natural thing. We're not all 100% excellent at everything we do or accomplish or try to accomplish, so that going back to that fear about grades, for instance, not everybody is going to get A pluses all the time, and that's okay. And maybe one of the things parents can do to help themselves and also to convey some of these messages to students is not always ask about grades. What'd you get on that test? How did that test go? But to ask about, you know, their learning. What have you learned about this? Or what is your experience about this? Or how did the process go? I know one of the things we talk about in some of my classes when we're talking about sort of reframing our attitudes about a lot of things is a little expression, which is see feedback, not failure. And I I quote that to them every time I hand a test back, because they look at the grade and say, oh, I did well, or oh, I didn't do well. And, you know, I really try to remind them every test you get back, every assignment you get back, because academics in this case, is really just feedback. Look at the kinds of questions you got wrong. Look at why you got them wrong. Did you get a question wrong because you you forgot? That's different than I got a question wrong because I don't remember ever encountering that in the chapter in the textbook. I must not have been reading carefully. So, you know, every failure, and I wish I had a dollar, Lynn, for every time you and I are doing air quotes here as we're having this conversation. I'm saying failure with air quotes. Everyone is really just feedback and reminding students about that messaging. And what are you going to do differently next time with this? How do you feel about that? Really talking to them about their feelings. There are a couple of other things that I do when I'm working with students in public speaking, because speaking anxiety is huge. We know it's the greatest fear in this country. People would rather die than speak in front of an audience. And so one of the things that we talk about doing is naming it. And I think this helps for parents. We worry a lot, but sometimes it's sort of not clear what we're worried about. So naming something often gives you power over it. And so just defining what really are you fearing? And then another thing we do is to, the term is called decatastrophize, but take, you know, we engage in catastrophic thinking. We think if the worst could possibly happen, it's going to happen. And so this is counterintuitive. Imagine the worst. Imagine the worst that could possibly happen with whatever you're fearing. And usually when you think about that, it's actually not that bad. It's fixable. It's addressable. You can do something about it. So public speaking, you know, I say, what's the thing? Somebody says, you know, my worst fear is that I'm going to faint. I say, okay, that's a pretty bad fear. I've never in many, many years of teaching had anybody faint when they're giving a speech. But what would be the worst that could happen if you fainted? You're going to faint. Is everybody going to laugh at you? No, everybody's going to run to your seat. You know, we think those things through, and it actually helps. So I think if parents maybe engaged a little bit in that sort of those exercises.
Yep, and you know that reminds me that part of what we're saying is to normalize mistakes and to lighten up a little bit about it. I'm thinking about an article I read recently about a high school counselor who used to have when her students would get rejections from colleges, which is what's happening right now. Students are getting, acceptance or rejection letters. She would have a rejection party at the end of the year. And
cool.
So she would have her students come in, print out the letter, walk in, go to
shredder.
The shredder, name the college, shred the letter, and then go eat ice cream. And, you know, it's a way to lighten up the fact that we all, have these rejection things. And this is normal, and this is part of life.
And humor. Humor helps, And there are lots of schools, I think, that have a rejection wall, where the kids bring their letters in and they put them up and they look at everybody else's and they realize, oh, so it puts things in perspective a little bit in that way.
So, the last thing I want to just mention in terms of thinking about our own fears is to take care of ourselves. That as parents, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to, do whatever works for you. You know, if mindfulness and meditation or exercise or, stepping back and watching, choose people around us who don't feed our fears.
Yeah.
But
and social media is one of the worst for that. Some of us talk a lot to our kids about being careful about social media because that they're a lot of the studies are determining that has a lot to do with student anxiety. And I think for parents, it's worth thinking about too, because some of the social media, I know there are Facebook groups for college parents, and there are chats and, you know, all kinds of things. But they often feed the fears. And yeah. So, you know, surrounding yourself with the positive and not the negative.
Right. So protect, yeah. Protect yourself. You know, Vicki, we could go on and on
and we
talk
do
about this, but I think we're going to have to close it up for now. And we will be talking more about this in future yeah. Sessions.
That idea of success, I think, is something we want to come back to. But
absolutely.
But parent fears
yep.
are real.
Are real. And we are all human, and we, you know, we need to take care of ourselves as well as our kids. So I hope, you know, I hope we've shared some things in this session, in this episode, some things that that folks feel that can be useful or can be even reassuring. We will ask that, you know, if you want to hear more about what we're talking about, please subscribe to the College Parent Central podcast. If you would consider taking a moment to leave a review, that would be just fabulous. Yeah,
that's how other people find us.
Yep, and pass it on to your friends if this has been helpful. You may want to take a look at the College Parent Central website as well. And, you know, we will have show notes there. There's a place where you can give us some feedback there as well. So we will continue on, shoulder on. Is that what we say?
Yeah.
Shoulder on and hang in there, everyone.
Yeah.
And we'll see you soon.
Thanks for being here.